The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Good morning. This is Steph. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley, broadcast every Saturday morning here on KLBB 1220 AM. But first, joining us from the Farm Store in Stillwater, Minnesota, it's Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey there. Well, it's that time of the year where Mother Nature's not quite sure what she wants to deliver to us. So we might have one day of rain. It might be a little rain mixed with ice. And then, of course, there's the heavy, wet snow that finally turns into snow once we get into the deep freeze. It's this time of the year that our precious evergreens really take the wrath from Mother Nature. So think about your arborvitae, some of those hollies, some of those evergreens. And when I talk evergreens, what that means is these are plants that retain their foliage all winter long. And what happens is because they're hanging on to those leaves, they actually breathe through those leaves. So for us, if we want to maintain that beautiful foliage and those plants for next year, it's really important that we provide enough water in the root system so that those plants can continue to breathe through the winter. What that means is that we should start watering our evergreens, quite regularly. In fact, it's not even out of the question to put a slow dripping hose under the plant right at its root zone and just let that water soak in. And you want to do that up until the ground freezes hard. And then on top of that, what I like to do with those shrubs is wrap them with burlap or sheets of strips of sheets, and literally like a candy cane, we want to pull the branches up, tie them so that when Mother Nature does drop that heavy wet snow, it is not going to break the branches off of those precious evergreens. So that's a quick tip to keep those evergreens alive during the winter and get them back here next spring.
That is a really good tip. And does that keep them from turning brown? I know sometimes, in the spring. Okay.
So, they dry out. If they lose all their moisture, they dry out.
So the way to keep your evergreens evergreen is to protect them in the way that you suggested, with burlap and watering them as well.
Right.
Awesome. Well, we can find out more tips like this and all kinds of things if we go on down to the Farm Store in Stillwater, Minnesota. I know, Rebecca, you have a really helpful staff that is available to answer people's questions about taking care of evergreens and all kinds of different topics related to nature and gardens and all kinds of things.
All kinds of stuff. It's holiday season now.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rebecca. I love it. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley following local student news.
This is Allison Wolf from St. Croix Prep reporting for the Shire. Matamidi High School will be hosting a positive sleep practices presentation to be held in the community room at the District Education Center on Monday, October 24th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Parents, students, and community members are all welcome to learn about positive sleep practices for students. The Stillwater School Board Candidate Group will host four more forums before the elections taking place in November. One forum will be held Monday, October 10th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Stillwater Junior High. A Minnesota-grown pumpkin was weighed in at the Stillwater Harvest Fest on October 8th. The pumpkin and its grower, Chris Qualley, earned third place with a Minnesota record-setting 1,915.5 pounds. Congratulations to Dorothy Dennis and Jerry Anderson, who have been crowned the senior homecoming king and queen at Croydale. A 2014 graduate of Stillwater High School, Holly Newton, has earned her spot as an engineering intern at NASA. She is currently spending time in Houston learning about flight operations and observing simulations. 24 gondoliers from across the country will come to Stillwater October 22nd through 23rd, when John Kirschbaum, owner of Gondola Romantica, hosts the 5th annual U.S. Gondola Nationals. The event will include single and tandem races that feature sprint, long distance, and obstacle course competitions. A digital marketing for nonprofits training will be held 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. November 1st at Stillwater Motors. This training is for nonprofits who have a message and want to share it with their community. Learn how to create and manage a more effective web presence in your community. Presenter Ted Kozlowski will discuss and demonstrate ways to facilitate online donations, attract more volunteers, and increase your community outreach. Reporting for the Shire, this is Allison Wolf.
Local student news sponsored by Cameron Kelly of Stillwater Estate Planning. Cameron Kelly's practice includes assisting clients with comprehensive estate planning, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, health care directives, and living wills. He also has a special interest in estate, gift and income taxation of estates, and trust. Cameron Kelly knows that there is no one-size-fits-all plan, and the firm's planning process is designed to make sure your current needs, future needs, and the needs of your family are met. For more information, call Cameron Kelly at 651-705-6277. That's 651-705-6277.
This episode of Voices in the Valley is sponsored by the Beckin and Helene families.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and today Jesse is recording the show for us and going to be a part of the festivities. Hey, Jess.
Howdy.
Hello. Well, it's sort of interesting, Jess, because a couple of weeks ago, we had Hollywood screenwriter Dina Chapman on the show, and my co-host Dina couldn't join us. And now, today, we are going to have a student host named Jenna, and our usual producer, Jenna, can't join us. So,
aww.
I know, but it's good to have you, though. It really is.
Well,
we love
you.
Jenna, and it's good to have you. We just can't go wrong here at KLBB. But it is amazing how these things work out to clear us up on any confusion we might have on our show. So, go figure. Well, Dee is out of town for MEA, but I am delighted that Jenna, a senior at St. Croix Prep, will join us for this episode of Voices in the Valley as my co-host. Jenna's going to help me with the entire show, which is a break in our usual format. As Voices in the Valley goes nonprofit, we are experimenting. Today we are going to try a coffee house chat where we dedicate our entire show to our guests, Senator Karen Housley and Representative Kathy Lohmer. We'll focus on storytelling and the transformative power of good literature. We're stepping away from all of that ugliness right now out there in the political arena to be lighthearted and tell stories and remember that part of the beauty of art is that it can effectively transport us away from our problems and into new possibilities. So I'm excited, Jess. I am excited to have this new format and to devote the show to this. It seems like we never have enough time for interviews. We just get to the good stuff, and either you or Jenna is doing that little backwards C telling me that I have 30 seconds left. And
sorry.
I said, I know, enough. We're going to have almost 20 minutes for this interview, which is going to be fantastic. And the reason why we can do this is because we have two sponsors, the Beckin and the Helene families. We get to have a sponsor-free episode because we have these generous families that are making the show possible for us today. So big shout out to them. Thank you so much, Beckin and Helene families. And all of this brings us to the very big question of the episode, Jess.
And what is that?
It's morning. We're doing a new segment called Coffee House Chat. And do you drink coffee or tea in the morning? And do not say beer.
Oh, I can't choose my normal.
You can choose water.
How about Pepsi?
Oh, okay, Jess. That made my stomach hurt. But you know what? Hey, that's, I must admit, when I was in college, Diet Coke was my thing. I woke up every morning and had Diet Coke and a bagel. So, you know, who am I to judge? But all that said, you have a very big event coming up, Jess. What's going on this next weekend?
Well, I will be in a play, a radio play, actually.
Cool.
For the Lions Club. It's going to be The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
That is excellent. And who are you playing?
Well, I got the role of both the bad guys.
I'm Ron von Brunt. You're such a nice guy. All right.
And I will also be the Headless Horseman.
Ooh, so give us that laugh. Oh, boy. All right. So tickets to the show. If that laugh doesn't make you want to get tickets, I don't know what would. So tell me, how do I get tickets?
You can go on the Lions Club event page, and they have them right there.
Ooh, I love it. Well, it's going to be really fun for me, too, because on Friday I get to co-host the before and after for the radio play with Lions president Jim Dahl. So I can't wait to do that with him. Yeah, and get to see the show. So I am excited. Okay, but I have to move on.
Certainly.
Because I'm using up that precious time. And I'd like to introduce my student co-host for this episode, Jenna, a senior at St. Croix Prep. Welcome, Jenna.
Thanks. Good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Okay, you know, I have to ask you the same question. Coffee or tea in the morning?
English breakfast tea with milk and sugar.
Now that sounds like a very proper way to start the morning. I love it. And you're a senior at St. Croix Prep, so tell me, do you have plans for next year?
Still filling out set applications, very sort of stressful part, but I'm planning on either going into English or history for a major.
I love it. That's fantastic. Well, we're really glad to have you student host today. Have you ever hosted a radio show before?
No, I have not.
Well, you're going to be great. I know it, because it takes no talent whatsoever. You just get to ask questions of amazing guests. And before we get started with that, though, we are going to do our Hush Report. We have Lily here to join us. And Lily, I'm going to have you pull that microphone down so that we can hear what you have to say, because you are going to let us know what is going on with hashtag Hush Podcast. Jenna, have you ever heard of the podcast before? I'm guessing no, because we're pretty new.
I haven't.
Well, it's pretty cool. We have a group of students from all over the St. Croix River Valley that have created an original sci-fi podcast series called Hush. Students in grades 6 through 12 write the script, compose the music, create the sound effects, act out the roles, and produce an episode a month of Hush. Each episode is aired the first Saturday of each month on Voices in the Valley, and then uploaded online as hashtag Hush Podcast. Pretty cool. And Lily from Liberty Classical Academy is here to give us an update on what's going on. Lily is a writer for Hush, does sound effects, and also plays a dog named Pug. Welcome, Lily.
Hi.
It's great to have you here. So you do so many things for Hush. What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is acting out and playing the pug. And it's really fun to just kind of experiment to see if I can put emotion into a bark.
Can you give us a sample? This is putting you on the spot, but you're good, so I bet you can.
Like a sad one or like a happy?
Do a sad and then a happy. Hold on. I love it. That is fantastic. Thank you. So tell us what's going on right now with Hush.
Well, we just recorded in a professional studio, which is really awesome. Right now, since we're just finished episode 3, we are working on writing episode 4. A senior named Emily on our Hush team is helping us put together the show right now, which is really awesome. We have a great team of professionals helping us out right now. Our director, Calissa Hall, from the Zephyr Theater, Prairie Home Companion veteran Alan Freckman is our recording producer, actually. Professional actor Randall Berger is our acting coach. Rick Vogelpohl from Audio Archive is our sound engineer. And Jenna from KLBB is our producer.
That is pretty awesome group of people. And I heard Alan has made a special opportunity available to you and Lydia on the sound effects team. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, so next Friday, Lydia and I have been asked if we want to watch a rehearsal of Prairie Home Companion and then go behind the scenes with Fred Newman and learn how he does sound effects.
I am so jealous. I can hardly stand it. I can't wait to host the Lions Club Sleepy Hollow. Don't get me wrong, Jess, but that sounds super cool. So, Jenna, Jenna, doesn't that sound cool? And
it sounds quite amazing.
Yes, exactly. And Lily, you'll have to tell me all about it and take lots of pictures.
I will.
Thank you.
I'm super excited.
I'm super excited for you, too. Thank you for sharing the Hush Report with us.
No problem.
All right, this is Steph here at KLBB Radio on Voices in the Valley. Next up, we are going to have Senator Karen Housley and Representative Kathy Lohmer join us with student host Jenna to talk about storytelling, creative writing, and what that brings to our culture and to our lives. It is such a delight, Jenna, to have Representative Kathy Lohmer here today and also our Senator Karen Housley. Thank you, ladies, for coming.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
It's great to have you here. You know, really, you need no introduction because I feel like everybody knows who you are. So we're going to do things a little bit differently here. Instead of, you know, reciting your very impressive background and bio, instead, I'm going to ask you a little party question, which is, tell me something about yourself that our listeners might not know. And Representative Lohmer, why don't we start with you?
Thank you, Stephanie, and thanks so much for having us on this morning. This is great to be here. I had to really scratch my head about that one, and I don't know what people do and don't know about me, but I was trying to think of something just lighthearted to talk about. So I was actually raised in Hastings. I'm the oldest of eight, there were eight of us born in 11 years. We lived in a three-bedroom Rambler with one bathroom. There are six girls and two boys in my family, so... that's kind of my history. And then my husband and I were talking about it last night, and he said, tell him about falling out of the car. So,
oh, my goodness. I have to know about that.
Right. This was back in the days before seatbelts or anything, right? And I'm driving with my mother in downtown Hastings, and we're driving underneath the bridge and turning a corner, and I wasn't buckled or anything in, and the door was open, and I fell out of the car, and I have a scar to show for it.
Oh, my goodness.
On my chin.
Well, luckily your mom noticed with that many kids. It would have been easy to not realize.
we're missing one.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you survived it. Yeah. I'm very glad you survived it. How about you, Senator Housley?
That is funny. I don't have anything as good as Representative Lohmer's. I was going to say not a lot of people know that I played the flute in the high school band.
Ooh.
And that was my favorite. And I had to decide between dance line and flute, and I chose dance line. But I remember kids used to have those walkers, and I just thought of this when you fell out of the car. I didn't do anything that bad, but those walkers, which they don't make anymore, because my grandson, I was like, how come they don't have a walker? Because I used to put my kids in their walker inside a fenced-in tennis court, and I would leave them in there. I'd be like, oh, those are my kids, they're fine. But I fell down the stairs in one of those, which is why they don't make them anymore. But I don't think anybody knows that I fell all the way down probably 16 stairs at our little house in South St. Paul. My mom had to bring me to the emergency room.
Oh my goodness.
And the whole family still to this day say that's when it all started and that's what's wrong with her. Yeah. So that's right. I've never told anyone that. That was good, falling out of the car.
I know. My goodness. Thank you for sharing. And one last question I have to ask you before I turn it over to Jenna, which is, you know, we're doing this little coffee house chat here as a new way of going about one of our episodes of Voices in the Valley. So I have to ask you, coffee or tea in the morning? What do you start out with?
Absolutely easy. Tea for me.
Tea.
Yes, and it's a specialty. Yeah. I only drink one kind of tea.
And what is that tea?
It's Harney and Sons Cinnamon Spice.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Awesome. Yeah.
You can go to a restaurant with Representative Lohmer, and she will just ask for hot water, and then she goes into her purse, and she takes out her special tea, and then sometimes the waitress is like, oh, really, you're one of those. I am one cup of coffee every single morning, and it has to be Caribou and Daybreak. Has to be Caribou Daybreak with about a quarter cup of chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk. Ooh, yep. That sounds good. I'm going to try that tomorrow. I never even thought about that. Chocolate milk. What about you, Jenna? I already asked her this question, so I'm not repeating it, but English, so these guys know.
So English breakfast tea in the morning with milk and sugar.
Ooh.
Sounds very proper and nice, doesn't it?
You're getting ready for your future, aren't you?
Yes, I love it. And that's a great segue to turning this interview over to you, Jenna. Go for it.
Okay. So the first question I would like to ask you is, what role has creative writing played in your life?
This is Senator Housley. I'll go first. I always loved to write growing up. I kept a little journal next to my bed, and I'm sad because I've lost them all because I think I was really funny. But I loved to write all the way through. I got a journalism degree in college, journalism and communication, and then I actually went on to write a book, and it was published by Random House, and I miss writing. I had a column here in the Stillwater Gazette for 8 years, and it was kind of like the, besides my radio show here on KLBB once a week, that writing that column was sort of my happy time. So it really, it was, for me growing up, it was a way to express myself, and I had so much fun writing and rewriting. I would write one story probably 15, 16 different times just to see if I could twist something a little bit more. So it kind of it formed who I became later on here at the ripe young age of 29.
Okay. Wow, that's a hard one to follow because I haven't written a book or anything. But I love to write, too, and I wrote as a kid, too, and I always kept a journal. And I always felt like I was pretty good at writing, and it really did help me as I was a mother and a homeschool mother, so I was teaching my kids and the importance of writing and just getting them to enjoy writing. And then I led a co-op, and I've done a lot of volunteering where I needed to write. And then especially now, as a state legislator, we get so many emails from folks, and there's so many opportunities where we need to write what we're thinking about. And so I think it's really been an important thing to have kind of developed that skill, and I still really enjoy writing, and I'm glad when I have an opportunity to do so. So,
great answers. So what inspired you, Senator Housley, to write your book?
What inspired me was a lack of knowledge in one area of my life. I didn't understand where our investments were going. And so I asked our financial planner a couple of questions, and he kind of poo-pooed me and said I should just, you know, go back to changing the kids' diapers and making my husband dinner. So that really irritation can inspire me. And so I looked into, I read Warren Buffett books and Peter Lynch book, all these investment gurus, and asked my girlfriends if they wanted to start an investment club with me. And after 2 years in the investment club, I thought people should know what I've just learned, and in an easy to understand manner. So that's what prompted me to write the book on just my experience.
As both of you are women in politics, was there any specific narrative which inspired you to enter the field?
I can go first on this one. Yeah, it really doesn't have anything to do with being a woman in politics, but I did read a lot about William Wilberforce, and I saw the movie Amazing Grace, and it was very inspiring to me, and it was something that really motivated me to get involved in politics because I could just see things that needed to change, and how do you go about doing that? And his life was just such an inspiration, and love that story. And if you've never seen the movie Amazing Grace, I just highly recommend it. It's a fantastic movie, and his books are very good too. And I mean, this is a man who lived in the 1700s and was responsible in England for stopping the slave trade there. And it took him over 20 years to do that. So there's just a lot to admire about him, and the story is just fantastic.
Again, what inspired me was a lack of knowledge and frustration and irritation with the way our state and our country was going. And I was swearing at my television one night. And, my kids said, "Well, what are you going to do about it, Mom?" And I was, I don't know. You know, I really didn't know what I could do about it. I thought the only thing you could do is go vote. Until my neighbor said, "You know, I think you should run for state senate." And it never even occurred to me running for anything. I thought I would just continue to swear at the TV and vote. And so I did. I just jumped into the arena and decided to run, and lost the first time, and then I ended up winning the second time. So, yeah, frustration, irritation, and lack of knowledge.
That's wonderful. So as a young adult, I often looked to literature to find answers about how to live my own life. Was there any specific book that had that same sort of transformative effect on you too?
I think just growing up a Christian, and my mom was the the daughter of a minister. I think that, and I know Representative Lomer is going to probably go into this deeper because she's really good, but the Bible is one that I will always go back to. It's the way I was taught to live my life, to the teachings in the Bible, and that's the one book that has stayed with me. There's a whole bunch of books that come and go depending whether I'm a teenager or a mother or a wife, you know, or I just want to escape. But the Bible is one of them that wherever I go is one that I always go, that's the book that I have to live by.
Great answer, Karen. And I would agree that the Bible is very important to me, too. And I guess when I was thinking about the question earlier, too, I was just thinking about the fact that I did have the opportunity to homeschool my kids for 12 years. And so I didn't go all the way through with any of them. But what we spent our time doing was a lot of reading, and we read a lot about history. And I just think that's maybe one thing that's really lacking in our culture today is that people just don't really have a good grasp of history and the things that have happened and what has brought us to the point we're at. And so even when you look at elections and you look at what people are thinking about this country and, you know, what direction to go, do they really have a great sense of that? So I just loved studying world history. I love studying American history, the Revolution, the Civil War, all of those things were just super fascinating to me. And I ended up learning so much along with my kids because I don't feel like I was even taught, even back in the 70s when I was there, history the way it probably could have and should have been taught. So that's really motivating to me, too, to just know where we were as a nation, how we got here, and where we need to get back to. So
do you think that aspect of history is due to oversimplification?
That's a great question. Yeah, it seems to me, especially for myself growing up, there was a lot of memorizing of dates, but not a lot of putting together, you know, what really happened. So there's so much good historical fiction that when you read that, you just get a better sense and feel for what was going on in the times. So who cares what was the date, but what was actually happening? What were the people fighting for? What were they thinking about? That kind of thing. So I think that's maybe what's lacking a little bit. It's just too many facts, but not the whole picture.
Yes, it's lacking sort of that, in a way, emotional context to it.
Yes.
So what is, in your opinion, the greatest power of the written word?
I just have to say what happened. Representative Lomer looked to Senator Housley like, okay, I'm going to give you that one first. And just so our listeners know, they're sharing a microphone. They're going back and forth with it, and they're doing quite a good job of it, I might say.
But
I would say, and this is just me and my experience, there's so many powers of the written word, depending on which lane we want to go down. But for me personally, it is gives me a chance to escape, a dream, imagine. I that's why I enjoy reading, is to just kind of just step out of my life for a little bit and just go someplace else and just really experience the pages in the book.
Another great answer, Karen. But I was thinking about that too. I was just thinking how, you know, we just live our lives in our own, you know, our own little world. But when you read, you get to experience other cultures, you get to experience other time periods, you get to experience what other people are going through, and yeah, it's just, it opens up a whole new world. And I was thinking about this question too, you know, in regards to like Ben Carson. I don't know how many people are familiar with his story, but you know, he was raised in the ghetto, poor mother, and his mother, instead of letting he and his brother watch TV, she sent him to the library. Even though she couldn't read, she sent him to the library to do book reports, and she would correct these book reports. But she gave them such a love of learning that he came out of that culture and ended up to be a neurosurgeon that was operating on conjoined twins. And, you know, just a brilliant man. But how the books just really opened up his whole world.
And so, Representative Lomer, that is just a fantastic way to end this episode. So thank you. And Jenna, thank you for a wonderful question to wrap us up with our interview here today. I really appreciate both Senator Housley and Representative Lomer being here. Very, very cool to hear your thoughts on literature and storytelling. Next week on Voices in the Valley, we get to enjoy a box of chocolates, another new addition to our show. The last Saturday of every month will feature emerging musicians and artists playing their song and telling the stories behind the music. So that will be quite the fun thing to do here on our show. Special thanks to the Helene and Becken families for their support of Voices in the Valley, and to Cameron Kelly for sponsoring the local student news. To find out how you can become involved with the show, email steph@theshireonline.com. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 10 in the morning here on the Club 1220.